Hey, everyone.
Welcome to the Woof Meow Show.
Main show all about dogs, cats, and the people they share their lives with.
So let's get started. Here are your hosts, Don Hansen and Kate Dutra.
Welcome to another edition of the Woof Meow Show on Z62 Retro Radio, AM 620 and WKIT HD3. Our show is sponsored by Your Pet's Home Away From Home, Green Acres Kennel Shop at 1653 Union Street in Bangor, Maine. I'm Don Hansen, and with me is co-host Kate Dutra. And today we have two special guests in the studio, not their first time here. But once again, it's time for Green Acres Kennel Shop's annual fundraiser for the Eastern Area Agency on Aging Furry Friends Food Bank. I like saying that. This is our 12th year of raising funds to assist the Furry Friends Food Bank as they help low-income seniors feed their pets. This in turn helps keep pets and their people together, something we're really excited about, but it also keeps them healthy and they can continue to interact and support one another. Last year in our fundraiser, between Green Acres Kennel Shop and the Woof Meow Show, we raised a total of $6,000, which is our goal again for this year. And if we reach that goal, if the community donates $6,000, we will donate an additional $1,000. So with Thanksgiving just a few days away, this is the time that all of us like to hopefully pause and give thanks for all that we have to share with those in need. High on my list is things that I'm thankful for are the relationships that I have with people, other people's pets and my own pets, Thelma, Muppy, and Boomer. I'm presuming most everyone that's listening probably has similar reasons to be thankful. And if so, I hope you will join us and help us keep seniors and their pets together by donating what you can to the Eastern Area Agency and Agency Furry Friends Food Bank. I know if I were in a position where I could not feed my pets, I would be feeling pretty desperate because they're a really big part of my life. So today's returning guests are Kelly Adams and Mike Trafton. Those are the people at the Eastern Area Agency on Aging that keep the Furry Friends Food Bank moving forward. So welcome back to our annual show.
Thank you.
We're excited to have you guys here. And, you know, for those of you that have listened before, yeah, you're going to hear some stuff you've heard before, but we're always getting new listeners, and we think it's good to have a refresher. So let's just start out talking about the Eastern Area Agency on Aging, because it's an incredibly, I think it's an incredible agency. It has a incredibly huge mission, and it's important that you're there. So tell us about you.
Well, we work for Eastern Area Agency on Aging, as you said, and our main mission at Eastern Area Agency on Aging is to provide older adults, caregivers, and adults with disabilities in the regions that we serve, which is Hancock, Penobscot, Piscataquis, and Washington counties, with just information and access to resources that they need in order to be healthy, engaged, and supported in their communities. We're really excited because we just opened our new office over in State Street in Brewer at the Twin City Plaza. So we have a new location that people can visit us at. We serve, our primary focus is to serve and support seniors in the area, and we're just really excited to be here because, like you mentioned, it's really important to us to keep pets together with their families, and that's our main mission over at Eastern Area. Mike and I work for the Furry Friends Food Bank and the Commodities Food Program.
It's a quick question, and this is just a logistics question for my brain. So is the food program now operating, the Furry Friends Food Bank food program, is that now operating out of Brewer, or is that still operating out of the Bangor location?
So that's a good question. It's really a little bit confusing right now. So the Bangor distribution for the area is offered at Union Street, where our main office for wellness is.
Okay.
Wellness and nutrition. So that's at 1129 Union Street at the Airport Mall. So when we have our monthly Bangor distribution, that's where people can come to pick up their pet food if they're on the program. People can drop off pet donations at either location, at the 1129 Union Street at the Airport Mall or the 240 State Street in Brewer.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. Good question.
And that is a great question, because when we first opened the new office, people thought we had left the airport mall completely, mm-hmm. and they were concerned that the distribution wasn't going to be held there. But the distribution is still at the airport mall, third Tuesday of every month at 1:30 in the afternoon.
And do you envision staying at the airport mall for a while then?
We do, yep. Okay. It's a great location for us. Like I said, nutrition and wellness is over there, so we don't intend on changing that location. But all of our other programs, we outgrew the space that was on Essex Street in Bangor, and so we now have a new space over in Brewer.
Okay.
And while we're talking about locations and stuff along those lines, one of the things that I think is really critical is you mentioned that you guys serve Hancock, Penobscot, Piscataquis, and Washington counties. That is a huge geographic region. Can you kind of talk a little bit about the large?
I sure can. So our coverage area is actually 13,000 square miles. And we have some pop-up remote site locations for our agency. So we have a location in Ellsworth, one in Callis, and another one in Milo that are remote offices. But most of the business that we do happens at sites throughout the counties that we serve. And like you mentioned, it's a huge coverage area. So our Furry Friends distributions actually happen at remote locations all throughout the four counties that we serve.
So how many sites do you have where that happens total?
26 sites.
Okay.
They do a distribution once each month as far north as Patton in northern Penobscot County. We have down in Deer Isle and Blue Hill, across through to Washington County as far as Eastport. Mm-hmm. So we really cover, and then up into Piscataquis County too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you're still the largest area agency on aging
east of the Mississippi.
East of the Mississippi.
Yeah, the coverage area that we serve is the largest. Yep.
And that's gonna be a little tricky in these winter months, but
it certainly is. We rely heavily on volunteers to get the food out to the location so that it's closer to the people that we serve, so they don't have to travel as far to pick up. So we're really thankful for all of our volunteers.
Now, are most of your volunteers retired folks as well, seniors as well, or?
We do have a lot of senior volunteers and a lot of retired folks. We also have young children and some business people. We've started partnering with some local banks who have a new trend is volunteer time off, where people can get paid to leave work and go volunteer. So we've had some great luck with some volunteers that are on the clock and have wanted to help out. So we're thankful for that.
If you've got we've got a listener who's thinking, hey, that's something I'd like to do. How do they get involved with your volunteer program?
They can call into our office. They can go to our website, or they can also show up at one of our distribution centers and ask for information on that. Our number is 941-2865, and our website is EasternAreaAgencyOnAging.org. We also have a Facebook page that they could go onto, and someone will reach out to them if they're interested.
Okay, excellent. So listeners, if you're looking for something to do, really, really worthy cause.
So, and I know you folks have a ton of volunteers that are really helpful. However, the reality is you're not all volunteers. So how are you funded?
So it depends on the program. We have multiple programs at our agency, but most of our funding comes from state, federal funding, grants, fundraisers, and donations. But the Furry Friends program is our only non-funded program through federal and state funding. So we rely heavily on a single grant and this annual fundraiser that you guys do, as well as some smaller fundraisers and donations that come in throughout the year.
Let's talk about some of those other programs, because I think they're important as well. They do complement what you do with the Furry Friends Food Bank. So what other things do you guys do?
So we kind of call the Commodities Food Program the sister program to Furry Friends. And what that is it's a free box of food on a monthly basis. It's funded by the USDA. And that's 30 pounds of food that's provided to low-income seniors on a monthly basis. And we found that a lot of people were using the food in the Commodities these boxes and feeding their pets with that. So we really have tried to expand on our Furry Friends distribution locations and set them up at the same locations that the Commodities is doing their distributions, so that people can be on that program and pick up pet food at the same time that they're getting their human food. So in the last year, we've actually doubled the amount of sites that we have out in the community, so that we had more pet food more accessible at the same locations that people were picking up their Commodities food. So that's a really great thing that we think is really helpful, that when you're going to get your human food, you can get your pet food at the same time in a one-stop shop, and it's not more expensive for you to travel to farther away to pick that up.
Mike, are those 26 sites you were referring to?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And like Kelly said, we try to put them in with the commodity sites as often as possible, but sometimes it's just not logistically, we just can't do it. Mm-hmm. Like in Bangor Rock Church has a Commodities site, but it's huge and there's so many people. So we do our Bangor Furry Friends at Union Street Airport.
Okay.
Instead.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I'm sitting here thinking from the commodities perspective and the pet food perspective, if people aren't getting commodities, can they get pet food?
Most definitely.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so. It's not a requirement that you're on both programs. It is the same income requirement guidelines. So if you're a single person and you make $1,307 or less per month, then you automatically qualify. And if you are a two-person household, it's $1,760. So it is, if you live solely off Social Security, then you automatically qualify for the program. And we just thought that those income guidelines, it was helpful to match the Commodities food program, mm-hmm. So that you would automatically qualify for one if you qualified for the other. That way, when people call in, if they want just help for their pets, we can also say, hey, did you also want some help for yourself?
Okay.
So we thought it just was natural for us to kind of pair those together, but it's certainly not necessary. We have quite a few people who are just get Furry Friends food for their pet, mm-hmm. and are not interested in the Commodities program.
Well, one of the things that I think is so critical, and it's important that you're also doing this together as much as possible, is because you'd mentioned that people are often feeding their food to their animals. And the reality is that food, while it is something, it may not be the best option for the animal.
That's right.
As opposed to the animal getting a more species-specific food, mm-hmm. and having the person get the nutrition that they need as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's spot on.
So some of these sites are not sites that you own or rent or lease. These are, mm-hmm. other folks in the community. Let's give them a, mm-hmm. shout out. Who else is helping you out here and providing sites?
Yeah, that's correct. The only distribution site that's on a location that is where we're at is the Airport Mall one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in some of these smaller communities, churches, it sounds like?
Churches, like up in Patton, they use the Katahdin Regional Health Center. We have the Piscataquis Regional Food Center in Dover Foxcroft. I mean, I can name a bunch. Humane societies, like the one in Lincoln, lets me go up and distribute there, mm-hmm. because the food pantry just isn't large enough to do the commodities and pet food both.
Wow.
So
okay.
I'm just down the road from them at the Humane Society. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they know that we need a spot, people are very giving about it. They see the importance, mm-hmm. of the program, mm-hmm. too.
And the town offices have been really great partnering with us as well.
Okay, mm-hmm. good. What we're talking about, let's talk about why it's so important for, Kate kind of got into it a bit on why it's important these folks have access for pet food, because limited income, heating bills, electric bills, healthcare,
medication.
Don't even want to go there, medications.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally when the program started, it was my understanding that was because a lot of people were sharing their meal on wheels with the pet, mm-hmm. or were foregoing necessary prescriptions so, mm-hmm. they could feed their pet. That's a big part of why this is so important, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, thankfully you're there doing it. I mean, it's just critical, because I don't think those financial obstacles are getting any smaller.
And can I share a story? I'm not going to use a name, but yeah. I had a call from a woman at one of our sites, and she had a puppy that she had let it loose in the house while she was gone. It was a hot day. She didn't want to take the dog in the car, so she left it behind, and she came home and the puppy had literally eaten one of her shoes. So the dog had to have surgery, and she pretty much went without feeding herself for a couple of weeks to help pay the vet bill. So she called to see if we had a dog crate kennel, so when she left, the dog could be in the kennel since she didn't want it in her hot car. And I mean, just it's stories like that that just reiterate how important this program is to seniors who, I mean, in some cases, the only contact they have some days is with their dog or cat.
No, I know that's one of the things when we first got involved that really, really touched me is that that might be the only, so a lot of times these folks are living alone. They don't have any family, no real social connections, and that pet is the only other living thing they see on a daily basis. And that's just huge.
And when we consider the ruralness of the areas that we're dealing with, you may not even have a neighbor. You know?
Well, no, you know? Yeah, or your neighbor might be 5 miles away.
Right. That no longer qualifies as a neighbor, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. And so you have that piece of it, or if people can't have access to transportation, maybe they can't drive, you know? And that's, it's that sense of isolation that I think is very, one of those things that is so critical that people do not have to have that sense of isolation and that these pets really help. And it's important that people remember that, that as you get older, a lot of our older folks are isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a way to help alleviate some of that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we're at time for our first break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more with Kelly and Mike and get into the nitty-gritty about what is the Furry Friends Food Bank. We've kind of been talking about the Eastern Area Agency on Aging and everything they do. We've just kind of touched the surface on that. You know, if you've got questions, if you're a senior or if you're the caregiver for a senior and are looking for help, great place to contact. I know when my mother was a senior and we were going through some things with her, I found the stuff information you guys had really, really helpful. So listeners, they're a really good resource. Phone number again.
941-2865.
Okay, and on that note, we're going to take a break. We will be back in a moment, so stay tuned.
Hey friends, Rex, Sparky, and Fiona here from Green Acres Kennel Shop in Bangor.
Do you know one of the biggest downsides to being a pet?
Baths.
No, it's that we don't get to choose where we go for our grooming and boarding and shopping for our food. Our owners do.
Good thing so many pet owners choose Green Acres Kennel Shop in Bangor then.
It sure is. Matter of fact, those pet owners just voted Green Acres the Bangor region's best kennel, best pet store, best dog trainer, and best pet groomer again this year, according to Market Surveys of America.
Don, Paula, and the staff are really committed to pain-free, force-free, and fear-free pet care.
That's nice.
Sure is. It's a really fun place to stay, play, and learn.
And where our owners can always get the best food, care, and advice, just like they did for the last 18 years in a row.
18? How many is that in dog years?
I was told there'd be no math.
Green Acres Kennel Shop, 1653 Union Street, Bangor. Online at greenacreskennel.com.
We love Green Acres Kennel Shop, our home away from home.
Welcome back to the With Meow Show on Z62 Retro Radio, AM 620 and WKIT HD3. Our show is sponsored by Green Acres Kennel Shop at 1653 Union Street in Bangor, Maine, where we help you and your pet become best friends for life. So the Furry Friends Food Bank, it's been going on for how long and what is it?
About 11 years now, a little over, 12 years, probably more into the 12th year, let's say that way. It's designed to give supplemental food for pets of senior citizens who are income eligible, and we define senior citizens as age 60 and over. Kelly had mentioned before, if somebody is living alone, the income qualification is $1,307. And if you have a cat or a dog, you can get a variety of cat food, dry food, wet food, and litter for a cat. For a dog, you would get dry food and canned food if you want as well. And again, it's a supplemental part. We certainly are not able to provide enough food for the month. But, you know, depending on the size of your pet, how much you feed them, you can certainly stretch it out maybe a week or two. And it's just to help out.
Well, and every little bit helps.
Sure.
Now, how do you handle, I mean, a lot of these people have one pet I know occasionally you run into folks that have more. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, unfortunately, we are able to only provide so much for each person per month. So if somebody comes in, if they have a dog and a cat, we're kind of in a position where they have to choose if they want to get the cat food or the dog food. And sometimes seniors will opt to get dog food 1 month and cat food the next and alternate back and forth because depending on what they have on hand.
So you're basically providing it per person, not per pet.
Correct.
So, okay.
And go ahead, Kate.
Well, one of the things that I was sitting there thinking about is roughly how many seniors are in the program? How many are you serving on a monthly basis?
There are about 2,000 seniors, again, in the four counties who are in the program. And again, that goes through 26 sites. Some of our sites certainly are much larger than others. We have some sites with maybe 8 or 10 people, and then we have some sites with, like Bangor, we have over 100 people in the program.
And how about this? What kind of numbers are the commodities program, the people food side of things? Is that significantly larger? Or?
Well, we serve 2,500 people on the commodities food program each month.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not all that different size-wise. So.
And we have sites like, I'll put Dexter out there because they built their program so quickly. About half the people regularly who get the commodities box regularly get pet food, not just are signed up for, but regularly get pet food every month in Dexter. They get the commodities box, which is that's a pretty substantial number considering they just started less than a year ago giving pet food.
Are you finding, I guess first let me ask the wait list, because I know for a while there was a wait list. It sounds like from what we were talking before, everyone is now off of the wait list.
Yeah, we received a grant last year that focused on getting everyone off the wait list and expanding on the number of sites that we were serving. So that's why we were able to double the amount of sites was through some of the funding from the grant that we received.
Now that grant, if I remember right, was good for 2 years?
It is. It's over the course of 2 years, so we still have 14 additional sites to add in the second year.
Okay. And what do you envision when that grant runs out?
Well, there's going to be a constant need. It never slows down the applications. The more people that find out about the program, the more applications that we get. So we just hope to continue to receive more grants, keep the money coming in with the fundraising and donations so that we can continue to serve the people. This is, like I said, the only non-state or federal funded program, and it's really important to us. So we just really want to keep going with it and not give up.
And you may not have the numbers. Do you have any sense as to what the rate of growth is for this program, or is it now holding steady with sign-ups over the past 10 years or so? How's it run?
We had the wait list, so that we were kind of at a standstill, but with this grant, we've doubled the amount of consumers that we've served. I think it's kind of a word of mouth thing. Once you learn of a friend who's receiving it, then people will call in and ask about it. And also with developing the new sites, that's we're getting word to new areas. So then more people in the rural areas are signing up.
I mean, and I think it's fairly safe to say that, I mean, the need's going to continue to be there for longer than we'd like to say it's going to be. So it's then, so there may be the possibility of future grants and things too.
We would certainly hope so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's definitely something that we continue to focus on. Yeah.
But I think for listeners, it's important for you to understand why, if you choose to donate, why this is so important, because there's no money coming from any place else. That's what brings the food in.
And right now we're still purchasing hundreds of dollars of food per week to meet the demand of the needs of the growth of the program.
Okay. So we've kind of talked about who's eligible, how many people participate. Food is, I'm just going to hit on it again, because over the years the distribution method has changed. This is all now people go and pick it up. There's a certain day of the month. What if somebody can't get there? The vehicle.
Well, that is a problem for some spots. Some places, like if it's a town office that's doing it, if they're not able to pick it up on the day of the distribution, they hold on to it and they give people the opportunity. Some places, it's not that easy. Again, the example, what I did today was in Lincoln. I get there once a month, and if people aren't able to make it, unfortunately, I don't get back up there till the next month.
Okay.
So it depends on the area. It really does. Mm-hmm.
And is there any type of Meals on Wheels program anymore, or?
We do have Meals on Wheels, and there are some people that we're serving through the Furry Friends program. If they're an existing Meals on Wheels consumer, then we're at the mercy of the volunteer if they're willing to do that for us.
Okay.
But we haven't had anyone say no yet. So if you're on the if you're on the Meals on Wheels program, we can also get you most likely Furry Friends food.
Okay.
At the same time.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, from the food perspective, what are you looking for? I mean, do you want food? What kind of food do you need? What are you looking for that way?
We don't say no. About last year when we did this, our numbers were about 2 cats to 1 dog. But as we spread out to more rural areas, we find more and more dog owners are joining the program.
Okay.
It's still in Bangor, it's certainly about 2 to 1 cats versus dogs, maybe even a little over, because if people are living in an apartment, they either have a small dog or a cat. But again, as we've expanded into other areas, we've seen a big increase in dogs. So we definitely need canned cat food. I mean, that is every time one of the biggest things we need. We don't get a lot donated from businesses because a lot of our business donations are a bag of 50-pound bag of dog food that got torn. The business will donate it to us.
And that's true, because cat food doesn't, or your small bags, they don't get torn.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we don't get that donated nearly as much as the dog food. Now, that said, because we've increased so much in our dog numbers in the last year, we have found ourselves coming up short on dog food a little bit more.
Okay.
So even dry dog food, so anything along that line. We also do litter. Litter is one that a lot of businesses do donate because a bag of litter will get torn, 50-pound bag of litter, 30-pound bag of litter, and they'll donate it to us. But I would say our primary need, our number one need would still be canned cat food. And cat food in general, but again, dog food's catching up.
I want to get back to canned cat food here for a little bit, because we may have some listeners who are wondering, well, they don't have cat, you know, if they don't have a cat, they might be thinking, well, why not just feed them dry food, because it's just so much less expensive, and you know, why are we going out of our way to feed them something special? Kate, do you want to talk about that, or you want me to?
Because dry food, really, in the long and short of it, winds up killing the cats. That's to sum it up pretty quickly. I mean, the reality is I feed dry cat food. So I say that a bit tongue-in-cheek. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is that cats are designed to get about 98% of their moisture from their diet. Dry food actually serves to dehydrate the cat. It pulls moisture from their body to process and to digest. They have to have wet in their diet to thrive. And that's just one of those things. And like I say, I say it tongue in cheek because I still feed dry cat food, you know?
And it's fine as a supplement but to get across this idea, really, cats really need to have canned food.
That's why we're
diet.
Seeing so much kidney failure in cats. Mm-hmm. Our older cats are dying of kidney failure left and right, and it is because their kidneys are having to work too hard. Their bodies are having to work too hard because they are living in a constant state of dehydration.
So let's talk some more about, since the dog numbers are growing, I'm presuming that's primarily dry food you're looking at there. Their need for a wet food isn't necessarily as big. Somebody, and I'm just trying to clarify what you will take and what you won't. Somebody's dog passes. They just bought dog food last week, so they got 3/4 of a bag. It's already opened. That's something you want or not?
We will take it. I mean, we check it over
okay.
And we make sure everything looks fine. But we do take stuff like that in the dry.
Kibble, dry food.
But again, we always check it over and make sure everything looks fine. We don't get a lot of donations from individuals that way. Usually it's businesses as far as the bags, but that does happen on occasion where someone, like you said, their dog passes and they feel bad throwing it out if someone else can use it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask another question because I know that your space is limited and you don't have a ton of space to put a lot of things, but you mentioned this person with a kennel before. Do you take other donations aside from food? Like, I mean, honestly, let's be honest, crates take up a ton of space.
Yep.
But what do you do in those?
We've had those donated. We get pet beds donated, little winter jackets for small dogs
okay.
have been donated.
Pet steps,
yeah.
Pet carriers.
Okay. And you're right, it's difficult because we don't have a lot of space, but but if it's something that we think somebody could use, we definitely take it, and we usually will do a Facebook post. I say we, Kelly's my Facebook person. She'll usually do a Facebook post and say we have so many kennels and kind of first come, first serve for our consumers.
But if somebody wants to do a donation, you would rather have them, and we'll talk about ways to donate through us to get stuff for you at less of a cost in a little bit, but you would probably rather have the food and the litter as opposed to these other things. You don't want people going out and buying these things, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, the food is a necessity. The other things are very important, and we appreciate them, and we will not turn anything away because there's always a need somewhere, but the food is necessary.
Yeah. Roughly, how much food did you distribute last year?
Last year, as I told you before we came on air, in our numbers aren't just food, it's food and litter poundage together.
Okay.
So we do about 8,000 pounds per month, but May was a spike, we had about 10,000. Mm-hmm. So
just under 100,000 pounds per year.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Year.
That's
wow.
that's a lot
yeah,
of.
Yeah, our October number was 9,300.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, 9,300. Yeah, you're definitely hitting the 100.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say about 100,000 probably.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, we need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the fundraiser and other ways that people can help you out. So stay tuned. We will be back in a moment.
Green Acres Kennel Shop is filmed before a live studio audience.
Hey, everybody.
Rex! How are the holidays treating you, Rex?
Rough, Sparky. Give me a bowl of water and make it a double.
What's with Rex?
He's been out trying to get holiday donations for the Eastern Area Agency on Aging Furry Friends Food Bank. Low-income seniors and their pets need a lot of extra help this time of year.
Looks like he needs some extra help with that water.
You know what, Fiona? I could use some help. People can make donations of their own whenever they come to Green Acres Kennel Shop in Bangor. That's their favorite charity because it helps seniors and pets stay together.
That sounds like a nice thing to do around the holidays. And when people shop at Green Acres for their pet food and supplies, they're shopping local and supporting their neighbors in the community.
That's a nice thing to do any time of year. But don't wait. Head to Green Acres Kennel Shop right meow.
Did you just say right meow?
Maybe.
Happy holidays from all your friends at Green Acres Kennel Shop, 1653 Union Street, Bangor. Online at greenacreskennel.com.
Welcome back to the Woof Meow Show on Z62 Retro Radio, AM 620 and WKIT HD3. Our show is sponsored by your source for wholesome food for healthy pets, Green Acres Kennel Shop at 1653 Union Street in Bangor, Maine. Kate and I are talking with Kelly and Mike from the Eastern Area Agency on Aging Furry Friends Food Bank. I did it again. Let's talk about the fundraiser, and I guess we'll start out in this and kind of talk about how it works. But from November 24th through December 31st, we're going to be accepting cash donations as well as food donations at Green Acres. We accept food donations year-round, but we specialize in cash donations during this period. And so our regular clients are used to it. They're going to hear us ask every time they're in, would you like to donate something to the Furry Friends Food Bank? We're going to have listeners send in. For a few years now, we've been doing this so people don't have to come in. They can donate online, and the web address for donating online is www.greenacres-donate.com. It is a secure PayPal account, so you don't need to worry about anything there. And it's an easy way to donate if you can't actually come in, or if you're listening to this as a podcast, and we've had people do this in the past where we've had some donations from California and other places where they hear about the program, or they have a parent or an aunt or uncle or in the program and want to do something. So that's a good way to do it as well. But we're hoping to raise a total of $6,000 from the community this year. We decided to go with the same goal we met last year, because last year was a little bit of a struggle. We really, really had to work to get there, and we want to get there. But if we reach that, Green Acres is going to throw in another $1,000 to add to everything. And so, like I said, that's going to go November 24th through Tuesday, December 31st at close of business. We'll be reporting this on a regular basis on the Friends of the Furry Friends Food Bank Facebook page, as well as the Green Acres Kennel Shop Facebook page, so you can watch it there. We'll have signage up in the store. But those are some of the things we're going to do. And Kate, why don't we talk about how we can make dollars go further when people give dollars rather than food?
So the reason that we really want to encourage listeners, and why we ask our clients for monetary donations as opposed to purchasing food, is primarily the most important thing is that we can then purchase the food wholesale, and we sell the food, so we will buy it wholesale at cost. And then with this money that is raised here, there is an account that is created, and then we actually sell the food to the Eastern Area Agency on Aging at cost. So there is no money being made on this. There is no profit being made from us. Our time is donated into it for the ordering and from that regard. So that way, you know, that bag of cat food that you just purchased at Hannaford's, we could purchase two of those bags for probably potentially the same amount of money. And that's one of the major reasons that we really encourage people. In addition to that, is like you had mentioned before, how you're seeing a little bit of a spike in dog food. So we can, you know, work with you guys to find out what you need. So if you have a month come up and you're like, oh, we're really low on this, Kate, can you increase that? We can take care of making that increase and get you more of what you need different months, because we've just basically got an account that is set aside, and that's the money that is spent down, and we spend it down from that account buying stuff wholesale. And we sit down and we look at what's going to be the best price. You know, okay, so you need litter. Let's see, we can get this for this and this for this. What do we think? Additionally is the nutritional piece. We try to find foods that are also high quality, so the animals get more of a bigger bang for the buck in that way too.
And from the cat's perspective, having some continuity in diet, not having a different food every time, because I mean the finicky cat is not a myth. It is a reality. Kelly's nodding her head, yeah, I know all about that. And so having some consistency in diet really helps as well, and that's what we're trying to do with this. And then, so you know, if you get everybody bringing you bags of food, you've got a place to store it, you don't need it that month, and it's just you can buy it when you need it, and it works out really well that way.
And can I just say, from my perspective, being the program coordinator, there was one month that we were desperately low on litter, which almost never happens, but one phone call and Kate ordered me enough litter to do the Bangor distribution, which is by far our biggest distribution. And that was such an ease to all of us, my volunteers, all of us involved in the program, that we didn't have to stress about, are we going to have enough litter to get through this? Mm-hmm. And that was just such a relief to everybody to be able to, again, just one phone call. I think you ordered it one day and it was in the next day, or maybe it was 2 days later. It wasn't very long. And we had 60 bags of litter all of a sudden sitting there that we were afraid we were going to come up short on.
And ultimately, that's just for cats. That's just as important as the food.
Absolutely.
You know, if they don't have a place to go to the bathroom, it causes all sorts of hygiene issues.
They'll find a place.
They'll find a place. And they can also cause some health issues for both people and the cat. So that's equally important there. So I'm going to throw out some things that we've seen people do over the years. And if you guys have some ideas too, but we've had someone at a business that they meet in the break room one day and say, I heard about this program, let's raise money and take it over to Green Acres. We've had a couple of people that have started doing that on an annual basis. So that's one idea out there. I know we've had at least one kid do a birthday party, and instead of presents for me, you know, let's do donations for the shelter, for the Furry Friends Food Bank. What are some other things you guys have heard of?
Well, we have had some great luck with different professional businesses having dress down days. Like every Friday, they pay to wear jeans to work and make a donation.
Cool.
In lieu of a Christmas gift exchange at Christmas time, businesses will donate food or monetary donations in lieu of their Christmas party in lieu of gifts. A young man organized a bike ride to raise money for Furry Friends.
I remember when that happened. Yeah.
And being a former teacher, I don't know if there's any students out there, but boy, students can just do some great stuff with different organizations within a school, maybe doing some sort of a fundraiser around this that they could donate to.
Yeah, ROTCs or Girl Scouts do fundraisers. Girl Scout troops will do fundraisers
good.
For us, which is
don't
amazing.
Forget the Boy Scouts.
And Boy Scouts.
and then there's 4-H. There's a number of different organizations. So if you're a parent or a child involved with one of those, you know, and you're looking for some way to do some good, this might be a good program for you. Kate's got look where something's percolating.
It's just one of those things that you mentioned that I just want to kind of re-stress how simple it is. Is if there is a holiday party and you do a Yankee swap or something like that, and the gifts are limited, so you can't buy anything under $10 for a Yankee swap, why not just ask the staff to donate the $10? Because you know what? The reality of the Yankee swaps is, they can be fun and they can be amusing. But seriously, what do we do with those gifts?
You get a re-gifted item.
Right.
Hope we have another Yankee swap to go to get rid of it. Yes.
So let's be honest. What a great way to just, instead of doing that, let's support the community and let's do a donation.
And is there any better feeling than doing something that supports senior citizens and pets both?
That's just huge. I know we've been talking about other ways we can help get the word out. So I've got a poster being designed by a living, breathing professional instead of myself this year, so maybe it'll be a little more exciting. And we're going to get some of those printed up and get them to you guys so you can get them out. But if there are listeners, especially in some of the more remote communities, we want to help spread the word out. And that's as important as anything. I mean, we've done a fairly effective job right here in the greater Bangor area, but we really want to get the word out more and get more people involved. If you've got a business involved and you're willing to put up a poster, call us. What number should they call you at?
941-2865.
Excellent. Let us know, and we will find a way to get you a poster somehow so you can promote it amongst your staff, your clients, your customers, whatever.
And likewise, if you're a listener who's using this program and taking advantage of this program, talk to your vet about it. Mm-hmm. Mention it to your vet. Maybe your vet can help do something within their office to promote something along these lines.
Yeah, I'd like to just personally challenge veterinarians and businesses in particularly Washington, Hancock, and Piscataquis County to reach out to us if they have scratch and dent pet food the veterinarians sometimes get prescription food that's brought back to them that they can't use that they just send back to the manufacturer. But I've heard that some veterinarians can just take a picture of the code, the UPC code, and send that in, and the manufacturer will say, hey, throw it away. away, and instead of throwing it away, they could donate that to us. We really could use some businesses and some veterinarians that are donating back to us in the rural communities that we're serving, because a lot of our supporters, like you mentioned, are right here in Penobscot County, but that food is going out to Washington, Hancock, and Piscataquis counties also.
And as it should, because that's where it's needed. But yeah, there are people that are living in those places that can become involved in the program some way.
Yeah, definitely.
And to help make it move forward.
And if you happen to be a business that has locations in multiple counties, mm-hmm, why not set up a little competition between your businesses, mm-hmm, to which locations can raise
the most
money?
Gee, what kind of businesses really fall into that category? I'm thinking banks. So bankers, hint, big hint. Could really help us out that way. And, you know, all of those communities have car dealerships. Mm-hmm. You know, another great, mm-hmm, place they where, yep, they see clients. You know, banks see clients all the time. So really, really good source of way for you to get involved, which is really what we need to take this program the next step and to take it further. Closing thoughts. What do you really want to get across to our listeners?
I'd just like to thank you guys for doing this for us every year. It's so important to us. And like Kate said, the food is purchased at cost. We cannot get food at cost anywhere else. So it's so valuable that you guys raise this money and then use it to in turn purchase food that is nutritious and good for the pets. So we're just so fortunate, and we really hope that the community will get more involved this year, and we really hope to meet the goal, but not just at this time of year, but they can also donate throughout the entire year to this.
Exactly.
It's not just a fundraiser that you guys do this time of year. You would certainly accept the monetary donations onto the accounts,
yes,
throughout the entire year.
Yeah.
And it's great at Christmas time when people are feeling, you know, really giving, but people still need to feed their pets in June and July and August. So the program that you guys do for us, where you help to distribute the food to us throughout the year, is so helpful and valuable to us, and we're really grateful.
And one of the things we didn't talk about this time, which we usually talk about, is just the benefits of keeping those seniors and pets,
yeah,
together. It's not just because it's a nice thing to do. There are real health benefits to seniors having a pet, mm-hmm, to take care of. It helps with depression. It gives them a reason to get up in the morning. But there's just lower blood pressure, mm-hmm, from living with a pet. Just so many, so many benefits. Mm-hmm. So you're really helping keep both senior and pet healthy. And, mm-hmm, that's really huge, too. Before we close, website, phone number, address, one more time.
Certainly. Eastern Area Agency on Aging. Our number is 941-2865. Our website is eaaa.org. We also have an Eastern Area Agency on Aging Facebook page. And we have two locations where you could drop off donations. One at the Airport Mall in Bangor on 1129 Union Street. It's on the back side of the Airport Mall. And the other one is in the Twin City Plaza and Brewer at 240 State Street.
And if you follow the Green Acres Kennel Shop Facebook page or the Friends of the Furry Friends Food Bank Facebook page, you can follow how well the fundraiser is going. Mike, Kelly, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Listeners, thank you for tuning in. We hope you will be a donor to this wonderful fundraiser, and we hope you'll join us next week on Main Show All About Pets, The Woof Meow Show.
So that's it? It's over?
Only for this week, Rex. The Woof Meow Show airs every Saturday at 9 on Z62 AM 620 Retro Radio and WKIT HD3.
I prefer to consume my content online.
In that case, it's also available as a podcast on iTunes and at woofmeowshow.com.
Read Don's blog at words-woofs-meows.com. And follow us on the Woof Meow Show Facebook page.
See you next time.